Roll call.
Okay, Cody.
Here.
Cokinick. Here. Is that how you say your last name?
Cokinick.
Cokinick. Jay Robinson Duff.
Here.
Lynn Elliott. Here. Patrick Garbon. Not here. Neil Heacock.
Here.
Bob LaRose. Not here. Martin Lynch here. Roger McFish.
Yep.
Here. Heidi Orsino.
Here.
Here. Liz Saba.
Here.
Here. Doug Schuler.
Here.
Here. Glenn Popp.
Here.
Here. Mark Spitzer.
Here.
Here. Nico Sunbury.
Here.
Here. Jason Vance.
Here.
All good.
Okay.
13 present.
All right. Are there any modifications to the NPGC agenda?
Yeah, it's listed as adopting August agenda and July's minutes. Should be September's agenda and August minutes, correct?
Well, that's what mine says.
Oh, that was the one that was sent down.
Okay, we'll modify that.
I did goof it up and send it to the city, and then I sent them one and said, here, the correction is there.
Oh.
And so, I don't know what went out with the city. But hopefully the one on our website is correct.
You can check that.
Okay. We'll check that and fix that. Other than that, is there a motion to approve?
I motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Yeah.
Did everybody get a chance to read the minutes?
Yes.
Okay.
One issue on that, too, was that I was down for the Balboa Park Committee as my report. It should be the Adams Avenue Business Association.
Okay. Okay. Is there a motion to approve the minutes with that correction?
Motion to approve.
Is that Glenn?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Abstain?
Abstain. I was opposed.
Okay. Non-agenda public comment, announcements, event notices. Zoomland first.
Mark West has his hand raised.
All right. We'll get Mark.
Good evening, everybody. Hope you're doing well. I just wanted to bring up a couple things that are happening. We have our really busy week in North Park Main Street. Next week, we have our Economic Development Committee is meeting at 9:24 at 11 p.m. and our Mobility Committee at same day at 1 p.m. Those are in our office. And I'm really excited about our Pucktober hang on 9:26. That'll start at the farmer's market at 4 p.m., and then it has 15 different locations to mix between putting and Oktoberfest, and you get to go to a bunch of places throughout our community. And then our beautification meeting, committee meets on 9:27. That's in the North Park office as well at 11 a.m. And then last but not least, our Taste of North Park is happening 10-5. That's Saturday, 10-5, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. We have over 40 different restaurants, including 3131, Drew Deckman's Place, and Black Radish, and Louisiana Purchase, and Nails Not Fishing. Just everybody's pitched in. We have over 40 restaurants and 15 different locations for the Pucktoberfest and the Taste of North Park tickets. You can get those at our website, northparkmainstreet.com. Thanks. Have a great night, everybody.
Thanks, Mark.
You bet.
Are you going to mention the AARP thing?
Both Lynn and I are on there, but AARP is being kind of, they're trying to keep it a little bit. I would go to the AARP website. It's next Thursday, but I know that you need to register to get in. Same day as 9:26, so if you want to come, it's go to the AARP website and find out information. You can talk about Lynn, but I know they're kind of being a little bit quiet, which is
pretty okay.
Cool. Okay, you have Kathleen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, Chair and Planning Group members. My name is Kathleen Lippitt. I speak at my planning groups around the city and locally, and one of the things that has come up that I'm not sure how many other planning groups have this issue, but it is about off-sale CUP process, police permitted businesses that are going into multi-use zoning areas. So you have multi-use housing or multi-unit housing at where there are a lot of families and children on the upper floors, and on the bottom floor or ground floor they are placing like a liquor store or a smoke shop. And we previously, before the state mandated some of these changes, have a off-sale CUP process in the city, especially for liquor stores, type 20, type 21s. And there are requirements for sensitive use setbacks and requirements that they notify the residents within 100 feet and up to 500 feet. I don't know that that's being done. I have asked the city. I've not gotten an answer from them, so that's one thing. Another thing about the AB 1111, that will allow farmers to sell marijuana products at farmers market. And I believe that's on the governor's desk at this point. And AB 1775, would allow for consumption lounges where they would sell food, beverages, and to have live entertainment. And we believe that it's that risks the increase of driving under the influence. And depending on how many of you have young children, there was a webinar today by two of our local rock star researchers, medical practitioners, Dr. Natalie Law from Radius Children's Hospital and Dr. Renee Lev. And I can forward both of their PowerPoints if you have an interest, but their data was alarming and compelling. So that's all I wanted to let you know about. Oh, and one last thing, smoke shops. So a lot of the smoke shops are selling high THC and synthetic products, because they're exploiting a loop in the 2018 Farm Bill. And so I have a cheat sheet that I can send out to you so that you can, if you have a smoke shop in your area, you can take a look at it, make sure that they're following the regulations and that they're not selling to minors or that they have the permits that they're supposed to have. They are supposed to have both a city and a state permit. So thank you very much for letting me speak.
You're welcome to always send area information to info@northparkplanning.org, and I will pass it on to my folks. Thank you for bringing your concerns.
Thank you.
Announcements from the room. No? Announcements from the board? Oh. Just real quick, there will be an AARP walk audit event coming up. I think it's next Thursday. And it's going to be talking more about the history of North Park. And the first part's the history of North Park, things that have been done in the past to promote walking. And then there's going to be a second part that's going to be focused more on the nuts and bolts of how to fix things that we have. And so first part is going to be an audit. We'll talk about the business section, 30th Street, and those areas. And I need to get in touch with Elkhorn Boulevard and see if they have anything particularly to bring up, because I know they're focused on walkability there also. Anything else? Okay. Gonzalo?
Hi everyone, this is Al Rocha, Rochelle, Senator Tony Atkins. I'll keep my update pretty brief tonight. The only thing I wanted to update you on was, as you may know, the legislature wrapped up this past legislative session. So 2023-2024 legislative session. So all bills, as we mentioned, are on the governor's desk, but passed the legislature. So they're just waiting until the end of this month to be signed or vetoed by the governor. There's not much else on our part regarding that. As you may have let me know, this is the senator's last year in office, so she'll be termed out. We'll be running for re-election this November. We'll still continue working through November, at which point there'll be another representative for the Senate district. I just want to let you all know who's still be here, still have access to us. Please always feel free to reach out. If there's any bills that you were interested in tracking and you want to know the status of, you can check leginfo.legislature.ca.gov. It's the California Legislative Information website. It'll show you where the bills are, what's been presented to the governor's desk. Apart from that, I don't have anything else. Is there any questions? Seeing none?
Okay, thank you. Chris? Are you on Zoom? No?
Not back in Zoom.
Josh? Joshua Dunn? From Montgomery Chef's office?
Not on Zoom, I wasn't.
Randy Reyes?
Hi.
He's the new Emily.
I am the new Emily. I wanted to introduce myself. Randy Reyes from the mayor's office. As was shared, I'm the new Emily. Emily has been promoted to her policy team, so she's still around with the mayor's office, just not doing community engagement anymore. I wanted to introduce myself as well as take questions. I've been with the mayor for 8 months now. I was assigned districts 2 and 5 originally, so now I'm doing council districts 2 and 3 as of this week, and I've been trying to make my connections with the leaders and make my rounds with the groups, so I'm here with you guys today. Before that, I was with Councilmember Campbell's office for over a year, representing Point Loma and the Midway District. So I've been with the city for about 2 years now. So if you have any questions, concerns with anything related to the city, city departments, feel free to reach out to me. My email is on the screen there, on the agenda. It's really easy, Randy Reyes, first and last name, sandiego.gov, and I'll be sure to try to assist as best I can. I don't really have much to share. Getting in the swing of things for District 3, getting familiar with issues, but the next time I'll come around, I'll definitely have more of a robust update, but I'm here to take any questions if there's anything you guys had for me or for the city. Yep. Yes?
I do. I have a business on Bergen Street, but besides that, I'm also a homeowner, and the unhoused community is becoming even more prevalent in our area. There was a fire started at one of the houses behind our store because it was abandoned and they moved in. We're seeing a lot on 30th Street of unsheltered and defecation and a lot of messes, and we were just wondering if the mayor focusing on North Park at all with this, or I know he's very visible downtown, but it seems like North Park is getting quite a bit of the downtown now influx.
Yeah, so I will say that the mayor is definitely focused on the entire city when it comes to homelessness. I also represent Council District 2, and in the Midway, Ocean Beach, Point Loma area, we also have a persistent issue when it comes to unsheltered individuals and the activities that they are engaging in. We're definitely focused on citywide efforts. Ultimately, we do need to expand our shelter capacity, which is an effort that the mayor is trying to do, expand safe parking, safe sleeping, shelters, traditional shelters, in order to provide these services. I'm not sure if you're referring to the Dale Street case with the fire, but we are also working with them. In fact, I have a meeting with those folks tomorrow in terms of the nuisance and squatting issues. SDPD is involved, Development Services is involved, and the City Attorney's Office is involved in that case, so it's an ongoing case. But I appreciate your feedback, and we'll definitely take into consideration 30th. As always, feel free to file Get It Done reports in terms of like encampments or sidewalk cleaning, and we can share that with our Cleaning San Diego division, which is the team focuses on cleaning up these encampments and these messy areas, whether it is human waste or other stuff. We can get that addressed if you do file your Get It Done.
Thank you.
Yes.
So I filed a couple of get-it-done reports about a month ago, and they, when I hit submit, it said, you know, be prepared for this to take a long time. What's the backlog right now? Do you have any idea how much time it takes to actually execute cleaning out an encampment?
It depends on a couple of things. Where's the encampment? And then, it, was it a get-it-done for an encampment?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the encampment?
It's a lot of it is, I think it's still city property, but okay. It's on
that's
Pershing 5 South, like that on, like as you approach the on-ramp,
okay.
There's constant trash in the car lane.
Okay.
Shopping carts, other things.
Yeah.
And people walking, like they call them pedestrians on the highway. But
so if it's on city property, feel free to send it to me in my email. We can write it to the department. If it's not, then it would be state and it would be Caltrans.
Yeah, usually when I've done that in the past, if it was Caltrans, it was Caltrans,
okay.
So I might get that notification.
Okay.
Cool. Okay, thank you,
Thank
Ben.
You.
Logan, you're up.
Hi, everyone. Logan Brandis with Council Member Stephen Whitburn's office. I have a few updates. First thing first is we're starting the fiscal year 2026 budget season again, which happens every year, so we are going to be submitting our first budget priority memo on September 25th, and we have a link on our website. You can find the budget survey where you can put in your input and make sure that we factor that in. We did receive the CIP list from North Park Planning Committee, and I made sure that our policy team is factoring that in, telling them which ones I think are ones that I hear about often and that have been ongoing needs in the past few years, but factoring all of them in and seeing which ones are most relevant for the CIP process. So we have that. Our office just wrapped up our first back-to-school drive, and it was a huge success. We're really happy with the turnout. We had 124 new backpacks, 1,200 binders, countless other essential supplies, over 200 spiral notebooks, and so we're really excited about that. That's going to go to public schools, K through 12 in District 3, for both students and teachers to take advantage of, so super excited. A few neighborhood issues that I've been dealing with this month, obviously homelessness is the big issue. Dealing with the Dale Street property, we do see a lot more squatters all around San Diego, but with abandoned properties, just channeling that through code enforcement, making sure there's a case, investigation started, and then making sure that the property owners are doing their part, boarding up the building. I know that we got that boarded up, got a letter of agency from the property owner, but other issues like Randy mentioned, get it done is the best way to do it, and then feel free to channel that to our office as well. It's a big part of my job is just pushing it through to the department. Some things do get lost somewhere, like for example with your case, sometimes if it's not clear, Caltrans, city property, just pushing it in the right direction helps, so you have my email. The other big thing, as always, people reaching out about street safety, street calming measures, and Councilmember Whitburn, along with Council President Elo Rivera, yesterday passed the streets, Safe Streets Resolution, which is a comprehensive policy analysis to reduce preventable traffic deaths and injuries across all 9 council districts. What the resolution really does is it. As part of this new resolution, existing municipal codes and council policies will be reviewed by the city's IBA, Independent Budget Analyst, to see what can be improved and to make sure that safety is their top priority in putting policies forward. And so that's amazing. We're really excited. It's a good step in the right direction. I think that's all I had. Like I said, the budget memo is 25th of September, so get those surveys in on our website. If any of you need assistance with anything, we're here to help. And my email's up there on the agenda. So, yes.
Question for you on that letter of agency, because I think it's a great idea. and I know a lot of business owners want that on their businesses, but the problem is it requires us putting our cell phone numbers.
Okay, yeah.
That's not like, is there something, like another way that it can be done without us having, for safety issue, our phone numbers being posted on the doorways, not really?
Yeah, I'm wondering, maybe Randy knows more, but if there's a way to put down a contact person that is not your direct cell phone line, and that way, I know with Airbnbs, a lot of people don't want to put their contact info, so there's a designated point person. I'm happy to chat with you more about that, and we can sort out, I can look into it further.
Thank you.
Good question.
Okay, I noticed we skipped something. Nico, did you get a chance to do a treasury report?
We currently have $954.70 in the account, and the only thing we've been paying lately is the Google payment for $7.20. I think I need to get the Zoom receipts, so send them over.
Sounds good.
Thank you very much, and I apologize.
Yep.
Jeff, are you here online?
I don't think so, but I can just tell you.
Bizarre gave me a report. They've got different things going on. They have, towards the end of the month, I think it's next week, they have an employment specialist, HR person from the city coming to the library, and will be available to talk about jobs and how to apply. Go to their calendar and look at the different things, but they have a lot of things going on, and they are appreciative when you guys come and visit. Jenny, are you here?
Mm-hmm. Hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
Hey, Jenny. Hi. Hang on, I'm trying to get this thing to work. There we go. Okay. Hi, everybody. Hey, Officer Jenny Hall, San Diego PD Mid-City Division. It sounds like Logan and Randy have already covered. I know we were talking about Dale Street property last meeting. That has greatly improved over there. Randy said, he's going to be meeting with some of the neighbors tomorrow. I should be there as well, just to kind of go over things. And things are not finished. It's just our nuisance abatement unit now with the city attorney's office has taken over, and so they're continuing to work with the owner. So that's still ongoing, but it is a lot better. And then keep filing, get it done for the encampments, like I mentioned. If it is on Caltrans, the person who looks at the get it done for the encampments from neighborhood policing, they will forward those to Caltrans as well. I know I've reported them directly to Caltrans myself. To try to just add more reports, because maybe the more they get, I don't know exactly how they work on their end, but maybe the more reports that they get, the higher up it is on the list for them to check. I know they have certain areas that they check on the freeways. I did just want to report that we've had an uptick in gang tagging at North Park Community Park. I've received a couple emails from some residents around the park with photos and such. I've sent them over to our graffiti officer, Officer Holden. He is actively looking, putting some information out. We're looking for some taggers in that area. So if you see it, take pictures. You can do that through Get It Done as well for graffiti. Those will go to the graffiti strike force and into our graffiti tracker. So eventually that does help if there's any kind of prosecution for these individuals. And I did want to mention one incident that we had. It was a robbery at a gas station, the Chevron, 2405 University, that happened last month on the 28th. It was about 5 in the afternoon. There was a male that came in, demanded cash, lifted up his shirt, and displayed a firearm. He ended up leaving before officers got there, but the gas station has excellent video, so robbery was investigating, but our officers actually were able to locate this individual in, I think it was in Mid-City or somewhere in Southeast, but in our area they were able to find him, and he's in our he was arrested. So good work on our officers and keeping an eye out and locating him. Does anybody have any questions?
Thank you for all you do, Jenny.
Thank you, Len.
Okay.
Just real quick, I'm sorry, Jenny. Any news on the on trying to get that money back for all the people that paid the North Park Association?
Have you not gotten it back? Okay, that's. Liz hasn't gotten her money back from MPPC, MPCA, and.
Yeah, I don't. I ever since I gave that information to Chris. Lynn, remember, I mean, you had the email for him in contact.
Right.
And since then, I hadn't heard anything. No.
Okay, I will get in touch with him again. I didn't
know. Yeah, reach out to him again, because I thought that was taken care of.
Well, I...
Yeah.
I thought it was, too. But I will...
Yeah, me too.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you need me to reach out to, let me know.
Okay.
To him. Yeah.
Thanks, Jenny.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, the CPC did not meet last month, and so I don't have a report for them. I did want to follow up real quick on the Rec Council, and just because we did have Bob was there and Pat was there, but they did vote to spend the money that got appropriated to them. I don't think it's all spent yet, but they're going to be putting air conditioning in the team center and two classroom buildings and two activity rooms, fixing a window and looking for a shade. And I know the shade has been on an unfunded list with Park and Rec for a while. And we'll be meeting again in October, and there are some other things they brought up that they want to see about spending that $750,000 on. I looked at their old lists for unfunded, and they really talked about taking down the senior center and putting a new building in there, and I still need to follow through and find out exactly what they're talking about, because I didn't find rebuild the rec center, and so I need to talk to higher up to the Park and Rec to find out a little bit more about that. Consent items, we have none. Action in. Informational items. Does anybody, Mark, do you want to say anything about that, or I'll say something? Or Jason, do you want to say something? How about you?
Yeah, sure. So we're going to be testing out Google Meet to see if it's a viable alternative to Zoom. It's significantly cheaper on the board's end. It should provide all the mostly similar utility as Zoom. So we'll test that out, see if it's going to work out for us.
We're going to be making a new web page to add to our website. And I know in the past, many of these boards, the MPPC boards, have been very focused. There were some nice awards when Vicki Granowitz did the 20-year plan, and they got all kinds of nice awards. And people became very focused on getting big projects done and getting our name out that way. But I also think it's really important that we note the little things that we do, the things that we do for traffic calming, the things that we're not the ones that solve the problems, but sometimes we put people in touch with resources that they need to help solve their problems. And then I think that's a good thing for us to put out on a website. It thanks both who solves the problems, but it says that we've been working on doing our job for meeting needs and advocating for our community. And I think that's just as important as building a bridge or a new building or anything else. And we've got an election coming up, and when people say, what do you guys do? You mean, you come here and you sit and you do what? And do I want to get involved with this? Well, it would be a little bit helpful to have something that people could go to and see. And so we're going to be working on that. Liaison reports. Mark?
Yeah, the urban design project review subcommittee, we didn't have any projects to review, but we did have a discussion, and the discussion is about our position and whether or not we have a responsibility to communicate with the wider community about the zoning changes that have affected North Park. One recent example is a 8-story, 49-unit building being built on a single-family home-sized lot. And that can go on almost everywhere in North Park by the new zoning. And we know about it to some degree.
Maybe.
But at least some of the board knows about it. People that come to my committee know about it. But the wider community doesn't know about it. And the city, to some degree, feels that they that responsibility to communicate to the public is met when they communicate with the community planning groups. And I don't want to speak to the city, this is my impression. And that puts us in the position of now having the responsibility passed on to us and what we want to do about it is I would need, I don't know what the board wants.
Well, I put out a notice to Jeff Ryan, I don't know if I sent one, I think I sent one to you too, Logan, about the Development Services Department 101, just so we could put it on the website so people didn't understand that, oh, they're steamrolling and that we know all about it and we're planning for this, because that's not true. There's a lot of state laws and city laws that guide, approve building development, and we don't have to be, it used to be we were told about all of this, and now we're not told about much. And so it'd be nice to have some basic information. I know Jeff said he would look, and maybe if you can look too, or we'll have a presentation and still get the information. To put it down, that we can put it on our website. Just basic things about, you know, state rules. You can build here if you have this amount of affordable housing, and it can be any height, and no parking. Parking is, you know, not an issue anymore. And you can, and the state rules or city rules, and just so we can spell it out so the community knows. I know the woman that was here last year said that building's going up, the 8-story building that's right next to her. And so she's probably in touch with you.
Yes. One thing I would add to that is a few months back, you remember we had discussed having a way to notify the community about new developments going on. What I envisioned was similar to downtown, I forget which department has it, but it's a map, interactive map, pretty easy to make even, but just as you find out about projects, if North Park Planning Committee wanted to make something similar to that, it lays it out where you can just look at it, has all the information right there, and that way the community has all of the public information and has the real information and not the misinformation, which is common as well. And,
well, we had, it was easy a year ago, it was easy to read Development Services maps, and then they changed it. And now you may get, you can go to, I know Heidi and I were researching one, and did you ever find what it was? Because we went looking and found stuff. It was hard to read, hard to find, and you could find all the little ones, all the little approvals, like electrical panels, right, and little things like that, but you can't find building things. And I know I saw something, Pat sent out something with, there's a Development Services is having an in-service somewhere, but it would be nice if they could come and present to community groups so that we could inform the community so it's not like, oh, surprise.
Yeah, I think touching base with Brian again and seeing Jeff Ryan.
Right.
And
either planning department or DSD or both could come, that would be amazing.
I've asked. He said he would do some checking out. I'll see Marlon next week to bug them both.
I'll make a note about it.
Okay. Well, in that digital map, what would you want the software as they use?
It's story maps.
Okay, yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, no, I've got to be around them. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, if I could at one point to this discussion, I think it's, you know, I'm glad you're still here, Logan. I wish Ricky would have stayed around a little bit too. But I think as we develop this dialogue, and again, we have responsibilities here as the committee, but also representatives from the city to be able to, you know, communicate to the community. When changes in zoning come out, it's always helpful to understand what are we trying to accomplish with this. You know, I think with housing, a lot of it is to provide shelter for the unhoused. So it's good to understand that, number one, and then to be able to track over time, is it working? And, you know, it's brought up a couple points of, you know, maybe homeless or squatters, you know, possibly causing problems, even fires in the community, things like that. And I know it's going to be a trailing indicator. Like, you get to build a house, it's going to be maybe a year or two before you really see the impact. But I think adding that to the dialogue, like, hey, in some cases, we don't like to accept change. Okay, we got to get through that. If there's a change for a reason, let's hopefully make sure that if the change was made for a reason, that it's having the impact over time, so that we're judging that hopefully the unhoused numbers will be able to go down over time. And if they're not, hopefully we're reconsidering the zoning policies or things like that to be able to maybe find something else or go a different direction. And I just want to add that to the dialogue.
That's a, you know, is it working? I mean, I'm not fussing, but I'm saying we hear one thing is that enough housing has been built to cover what's supposed to be needed for the next 20 years, but we still have a huge amount of homeless. And I know the mayor is sending out, he's frustrated, he's sending out notices asking people, do you know of any place that we can have people go? And I've seen around the county that the Board of Supervisors, County Board of Supervisors, they try to put houses and the people freak out and say, no, you can't put them near here. And so they're still out there.
Yep, absolutely. And there's a lot of ways to measure the success of the policies we put forward, tracking the amount of homeless individuals we still have on the street is one of them, tracking how much rents are rising. Rents rise very little this past year. Way less than it has been going incrementally each year. Just the cost of living here is one way to determine it as well, but it's a really good point. We gotta keep checking in on it. And there's much smarter people in planning and my boss and the IBA's office who are tracking that kind of stuff.
So I guess none of the new zoning that I've seen would allow buildings to be built that homeless people could move into. There's like single room occupancy would be an example, is the most common low end, which is built, has been built a little bit downtown, not anywhere near what was eliminated from downtown. The zoning in North Park, that I don't think there's any zoning for single room occupancy. So to bring up the homeless issue is a little bit isn't really what's going on. It's not really the motivation.
In my defense, I wasn't the one who brought it up, but
yeah, I know.
It is a good point. I think the housing that is being built here is only a percentage affordable. There are a few that are fully affordable housing, but that's where we need to step in and add more shelter beds. And wherever we can find a space, wherever we can find the money, that's where the support is needed for the homelessness issue. And then with each new development, there is a portion of percentage required to be affordable, and some of that is very low-income individuals. But absolutely, more SROs somewhere would be essential.
Going off what you said, Mark, it's possible that rent prices would be the better proxy for that kind of metric than homelessness directly.
Yeah,
maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
And you mentioned rent prices too. So.
Yeah. I know Community Housing Works had a project. It was over on Florida and Alcohol Boulevard, and it got nixed. And they've done great stuff throughout the county. And sometimes we ourselves did that. I'm not saying it was me, and I'm not saying it was this board, but we've done the same thing as if they've done out in the Linden Grove and said, no, we don't want to help people out.
There's always opposition to more shelter. It's unfortunate, but it's always.
So there's a nationwide discussion about strong cities going on at the levels of the planning education and universities and planning departments. And one of the things that my reading is the notion that all neighborhoods should be willing to change moderately, but no neighborhood should be forced to change radically. And I think what we're seeing is maybe Hillcrest and North Park are being forced to change radically, and that's where the conflict comes in, is that to totally eliminate single-family home zoning, which is basically what has happened, almost all of North Park is within 1 mile of a bus stop, and you can do exactly what the project I mentioned. 8 stories high, 49 units on a single family home lot. And people don't know that. And just think it's our responsibility and the mayor's responsibility and the city's responsibility to actually tell people what they're doing. I don't think our existence takes away the city's responsibility to communicate with the communities. So I kind of, you know, toss the ball back to you.
Well, I love that constructive criticism. We have a newsletter. I've come to these meetings to share with you all and to take that feedback as well. It's often covered in the news, but with that example, you're right. A lot of people don't know that, you know, that's going on, and that is possible. So.
We'll talk.
I think, yeah, it's just something that needs to be added.
Yep.
Not to fuss on this or fuss on that, but something to add and to just to communicate with people. And yeah, sometimes there's a pushback, and sometimes there's a good reason, and sometimes it needs to be accepted. But it's just something to add for the same thing with getting basic information out to people. Doug.
For public facilities and transportation, we did not have any items for this month, so we did not hold a meeting. Looking forward, we have had, we're always welcoming of topics that should come up for the subcommittee. Typically, we look at things that may be discussed in a more open forum during the subcommittee meeting that then we can take to the larger committee for a recommendation. So always open for those. One of the topics that we have up that we possibly teeing up for next month is the concerns over the traffic on 32nd Street, especially south of Upas, where it's fairly narrow and parking on both sides and two lanes of traffic. A lot of cars maneuvering because there's not enough space for cars to park on both sides and two cars to pass simultaneously. So I welcome any inputs. Please send it to info@northparkplanning.com. And, on whether it's that 32nd Street or any other issues that you see without the community. Thanks.
It's not about that. I want to know where that 8-story building in a 1-zoning lot is going to be built.
4534 Idaho Street.
Oh.
So
that's on Idaho, a couple blocks north of Alcohol Boulevard.
Yeah. All right. Did the zoning get changed that much?
We haven't been to the meetings lately.
Yes.
I thought it was six.
In your plan, the height limits were taken away, were taken out. There used to be height limits of 40 and 60, 60 on University and probably Elkhorn Boulevard, and maybe a little bit more. And the neighborhoods were not have like a 40, and they've been taken out. That got taken out of the 20-year plan.
Wow.
And that's random, because we went through all the 8-year pilot program, you know, about the new zoning and all that. We went through all of that. So I know what the zoning is like everywhere, but where did they take the height limit out?
In the 20-year plan.
You mean the one that's got
the North Park 20-year plan? Yes.
The 2015?
Yeah. 2015, 2016, when it finally got done.
I had a question about the transportation. Are they still planning on doing that shuttle for the, like they have downtown, the circuit shuttle?
Yeah, as far as I know, that is. I mean, that would be a North Park and Main Street, I think, initiative. I'm not sure Mark West is still on, if you could talk to that.
He is. Mark?
The question is, when is it going to happen?
Yeah. You're talking about kind of like a golf cart shuttle?
Yeah. Like they have downtown in the facility.
I thought you said something about this fall, and they're waiting on some funding.
Yeah. It's still in the works. They're making a lot of good progress. They were hoping for a case of North Park in October, I guess. But it's going to be a little more delayed, so probably later this year.
Okay. Liaison reports. Patrick isn't here for the MAD. I did forward our CIP list that we didn't put the focus on ours, on the SDPC, but there were some things. I wanted to thank everybody who contributed to the CIP list. There were some things that I thought would be a better focus for the MAD because they have funding and knowledge in Main Street. They have funding and knowledge to maybe get it done faster than the city. And I thought I did send our list of things that we didn't put in the main list to the MAD group, as well as I'll be talking to Howard Blackson, who's I don't think is here either, and I will be sending him a list and sending it up to Park and Rec for things for about Boulevard.
Kathleen, Linda had her hand up.
Kathleen?
I just wanted to make a quick comment about what's going on in the unincorporated communities. I heard you mention that they are protesting having increased housing in their areas, but there are, as you mentioned before, really good reasons for that. They have narrow streets, a single entrance and egress, and so during fires, which are frequent out in the unincorporated areas, especially with the increased battery energy storage facilities, their concern is that they're already blocked during emergencies, and adding more infrastructure is going to make that matter worse. Moreover, they don't have any power. They've protested things before to no avail. The county simply overrules them. So that's all
I
would say.
Thank you, Kathleen. That's a general comment. Roger, you're up.
Okay. The Adams Avenue Business Association has their annual street fair this Saturday and Sunday. It's along Adams Avenue from 32nd Street to 36th Street. It's from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Saturday and 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday. And they'll have dozens of musical acts, a lot of vendors, a beer garden. So it's a big event. Mm-hmm. That was it for news for them.
Okay, they did an Elkhorn Boulevard Business Improvement Association. Goodness, did not have a meeting last month. Liz, did you get to go to University Heights?
They still haven't had a meeting.
They had a forum on September 5th where they invited Councilman Whitburn and Pauline Cusack to debate, and they had a really good turnout. They're having their officer elections on Thursday, October 3rd. Hopefully they'll be a little more responsive with that. And then on November 10th, I believe it is, they are having their taste of University Heights. I need to double check that date. Yes, November 10th. It's the Art and Flavor at the 17th Annual Taste of University Heights.
New business.
I'd like to bring up one topic I mentioned to you before is the elections subcommittee. Elections are in March of every year. It's really right around the corner as far as time comes up because with December we typically don't have a meeting. So getting organized, and I'd like to put this on the agenda for October to discuss how we want to run the election subcommittee this year and then get that formed so that by November they can kick off and start planning ahead. I'll put in a plug also that our bylaws actually are very good and fairly prescriptive on what those election subcommittee should do and how they should run the election. So if you have a chance to review that before the next meeting, that would be great and help have an informative discussion. But again, I think it would pay us a lot of, it would really help us out if we have the discussion next month, get the subcommittee in place by November so that they're off and running to the races for the upcoming March election.
Okay, we will have that on the agenda, and I will be in touch with people next month just to remind you. Okay, anything else? New business.
By the way, I should have said that obviously there's board members that may have to decide if they're running again, but I also want to put the plug in for the community. Anybody that's ever been interested in this, you get a copy of the bylaws, look for the qualifications. So basically, if you're a resident, whether you're a renter or homeowner, whether you're a property or business owner, or even associated with a nonprofit here in the area, there's room for you to be on the committee. So think about it now, and then they'll be reaching out to look for nomination to community members that would like to join the board in the coming months. So, sorry, just wanted to add that there as well.
Sounds good to me. Any other business? It's 7:23. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
All right. We are adjourned. Thank you very much for coming. We didn't have a whole lot of news, but there were some things we needed to let everybody know. You can go home early.
Wow.